You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
K-State Nation, welcome back to another episode of the Purple Project Podcast. All things K-State, back again. Last 2 days of October, we are recording this Halloween Eve. Eddie Greer here in Manhattan, Kansas for the Purple Project Podcast. All things K-State athletics, from the football field to the basketball court, to golf course, everywhere else in between. Of course, we're recording this during Monday Night Football, October 30th, 2023, and ahead of Halloween Eve. Folks, before I bring on my co-host Alex Aiden, of course, Pro Project Podcast, if you're new to the show, of course, welcome on board. If you're listening to this late tonight after the game or making this your first or second listen of the day on Tuesday, we appreciate your support of the podcast. Make sure you continue to spread the word about this podcast, this other K-State podcast, to your friends, alumni, roommates, and everyone else as well. For those who've been following us for the last few months or since the Purple Project Podcast has begun, we also thank you for continuing to support the show as well. All right, folks, now it's time to bring on my co-host for the Purple Project Podcast. Normally, it will still be a reaction to Houston for a little bit in segment two. Alex Aiden back on the pod once again. Alex, how are you doing tonight?
Yeah, my allergies are kicking my butt. But outside of that, doing great. Doing great. Don't forget those volleyball cats too. I mean, they got another sweep of BYU, so they got back-to-back sweeps. We talked about that last week. Got another one, so they're playing really well as well. You mentioned Houston. KT completely dominant in that game. Did get overshadowed by KU knocking off Oklahoma. It did indeed. But they were dominant in that, so we'll talk about that. And I think this time next week, K-State will be playing UNC. So we're this time to, a week from today of our recording of the podcast, not when people are listening to it, but when we are actually recording it. So this time next week, we're recording it. K-State will be playing USC. And so basketball's a week away. And they got their scrimmage against Emporia State. Over the exhibition on Wednesday, I believe. So basketball's right around the corner, which will lead us into our breaking news story. Well, our breaking news-ish story came out a couple hours ago that Naquan Tomlin will probably not be playing. Not probably, he will not be playing against the USC.
Yep, and that's a perfect transition into that. Yeah, usually K-State Nation, for those who listen to the podcast, we talk reaction Monday to Houston, which I've already, and Alex already talked about the volleyball team yesterday's pod. If you did not listen to that, go back and check that out as well. Yes, K-State volleyball is playing very well, sweeping top 10 BYU. I have all my reaction on that pod from yesterday. That came out yesterday evening. Go check it out if you have not already before you listen to this podcast. But yes, back on track. Yes, I just hopped on K-State Twitter literally 10 minutes ago. And this flooded my feed. Naquan Tomlin indefinitely suspended following arrest yesterday morning in Aggieville. This was, I'm going to read Mitch Fortner's tweet, our word for word here. K-State men's basketball coach Jerome Tang has indefinitely suspended Naquan Tomlin. Tomlin was arrested early Sunday morning in Aggieville for disorderly conduct in brawling or fighting. Oh boy. And then of course, Jerome Tang made a little statement here. And obviously, we've been talking about Naquan Tomlin all summer long. And obviously, with the NBA talks and whatnot, this takes a huge hit. Jerome Tang had a quote on this here saying, quote, "I have indefinitely suspended Naquan Tomlin for not living up to the expectations we require for our players." And then he continues on saying, quote, "Although he is not with the team, he is still part of our family. And we will do what we can to support him as he moves through this process," end quote. My, oh my, oh my, folks, Alex. So, Alex, I'm gonna let you start. I'm still trying to process this here. Man, huge hit right ahead of the preseason game. Preseason. I understand it's preseason against Emporia State on Wednesday night. Ahead of one of the more bigger regular season games, you mentioned USC next week. Wow. I'm trying to wrap my head around this one.
Well, and the other saying I was taught when I was younger, Alex, nothing, I don't know, it was my grandpa who taught, Alex, nothing good happens after 12 a.m. So, nothing good happens after 12 a.m., Eddie, and this was at 1:54 a.m. Now, I did break that advice a couple times in college, at Tubby's before. I have been at that establishment. Not a place you need to be at 1:54 a.m. I'll say that. Not a place you need to be at 1:54 a.m. The bars do close at 2 a.m. Again, not going to talk about how I know that. I'm making it sound like I was not a regular. Either way, point being, should have never been there. Honestly, should have never been there. You know, really, in all seriousness, nothing good can happen being at Tubby's at 1:54 a.m. on Saturday night, Sunday morning, or for Naquan Tomlin. And, you know, Eddie, I saw the tweet, right, from Kellis Robinette on Sunday that Naquan was booked and released on $750 bond on fighting at Tubby's. And I thought, oh, gosh. So, you know, you don't know, right? Like, how bad? You don't know how bad it is. You don't know what happened or the details. But when I saw that, I thought, okay, this is it. This isn't ideal. And I can't see Coach Tang just, you know, letting it. But, you know, we'll see how it handles the legal system and let him play. Like, that's not how Coach Nick rolls. So I thought something was going to happen. I didn't know what. I didn't know when. I wasn't sure. I was surprised at the indefinite part of that and actually being, you know, having to step away from the team and things of that nature. I didn't think it'd go that far. I thought it might be suspended a game, suspended a half. Again, not knowing what happened, because, again, we don't know what happened. I haven't read an affidavit or police records or anything like that, police reports, so don't know what happened, don't know any of those details, so can't really speculate on that front. But either way, it's about time and place, Eddie, right? And there's just no reason to be at Tubby's at 1:54 a.m. There just is not. I understand the bars close at 2. Legally, sure, you can be there, but you're a star. Look, you're a star. Star basketball player. And you are out on the weekend at darn near 2 a.m. And I can tell you right now, Eddie, that is the worst time to be in Aggieville. Is when the bars are closing. Everyone's getting let out or everyone's getting put out on the streets and everyone's drunk. And just nothing good can come from that scenario. So, just disappointing. And as you mentioned, Eddie, it's just disappointing. And you would have hoped that Naquan would have, you know, been better than that. It reminds me of my senior year when Marcus Foster and might have been a couple other players as well. They got in trouble for climbing as well before the season began. I can't remember all the details around that. I feel like that actually might have been at a fraternity party, but I could barely be wrong, so do not quote me on that. I do not remember the details. But point being is it kind of feels like that a little bit, and that's the last time I recall something like this happening. So either way, it's not good, especially, Eddie, when you've got a top 25 team you're playing game one. I mean, you know, USC, they're ranked 21st in the country. They're going to the year, and now you're not going to make Naquan Tomlin, who's arguably your best player. You know, I understand USC may not have Bronny James because of his heart situation, but that's still a really good USC team with or without Bronny. You know, K-State loses Naquan, yeah, they've got more depth, but that's a tough. Man, we saw the splits last year, right? And how K-State did with Naquan and without Naquan. When he was in foul trouble, when he wasn't in foul trouble. We saw what he did in the NCAA tournament. Like, he's an important piece, and you may say, oh, that USC game, that's the first game of the year, whatever. Yeah, you're right. If they lose, it's not the end of the world. But, like, those are the games that matter when you are on the bubble. And I'm not saying the Cajuns will be on the bubble, or if you're trying to get seeding, what did you do in the non-conference? Who'd you beat? K-State has two games against top 25 teams in the non-con. They've got USC and Villanova. They're two top 25 teams. You would like to at least win one of those games. So, not having Naquan for one of them really, really hurts. And kind of a selfish thing to do, you know. And again, you know, that doesn't mean Nate wants a bad kid. You know, Jerome Tang mentioned that they love him. They're still gonna, you know, he's still part of their family, and you know, he'll be back at the appropriate time. But it's a selfish thing to do, and Nate One knows better.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
Yes, yeah, definitely a huge hit, and I have heard that saying before as well. Nothing good happens, really. And my parents actually said nothing good happens after 11 p.m. So
no, they went an hour earlier.
But all joking aside, all serious aside, yeah, Naquan does know better, and he knows what's at stake as well. Not only just for himself, but the team as well. But for himself, though, he has an opportunity. Or had the opportunity. Now again, we'll have to see moving forward how they Jerome Tang and his staff handle this process, let it play out before making their next decisions there. Yeah, I was a little surprised. I'm literally reacting to this just now. I'm just found that out 15 minutes ago before hitting the record button on this episode. So yeah, I'm really surprised that it was indefinite for sure from Jerome Tang. But yeah, he's not gonna tolerate that. We know his coaching style. After a year, so he's definitely not going to tolerate that. So I'm going to be really intrigued now to see how the next quarter unfolds. But for Naquan Tomlin, they had a huge hit across the board in all phases there as well. Yeah, you know the consequences. You know the dangers of staying out that late. We all know that, whether you're an athlete or not. So we've seen our share. I don't need to go through the list of some bad incidences in Aggieville. But yeah, you're a star on the basketball court. Yeah, you don't need to be out that late and taking chances on ruining your good college career. So very disappointing. And this is ahead of preseason. Now again, K-State men's team taking on Emporia State. That'll be their only tune-up before USC and Bronny James. Now again, we don't know the status of Bronny James at this time either, because he had his heart issue in the summertime, so we don't even know how much he's going to even play or going to be playing at all. But for K-State, yeah, you're dead on, Alex. A lot more depth for sure, but we definitely saw the positives and negatives when Naquan's on the floor or when he's not, because mainly of foul troubles. So, man, this is going to be a huge hit. And if Naquan Tomlin, again, is not going to be available, if he does not be uniform next week, you're not going to have other guys in there to step up, obviously. Obviously, we already know Kaluma and Perry is going to be in there, but you're going to have to call on probably – I'm looking at Jarrell Colbert. We know Dave Gasson. Gasson was huge last year. And a couple others, maybe one more other guy I haven't said yet. But they're deep for sure. But they might have to be called on early here to step up already in 2023.
They very well may. And, you know, I'll say this too quickly. I think Jarrell Tang did the right thing. Give him credit for that. I tweeted that right before we actually took the pod that. You know, I agreed with the move. He did deserve to be suspended there. I know some coaches would not have probably suspended him. I'm not going to name any schools by name. I'm not imputing anything, people. I don't know what you're talking about. Some places would not have suspended him. I would not have probably suspended a player for fighting and for a semi-retail $50 bond, something that appears to be relatively minor, but that's not how Jerome Tang rolls. And if you mentioned it, we learned that with his coaching philosophy last year. And so that's why when I saw the news, I was like, I don't think he's going to tolerate that, because that's just not how he rolls. He's not going to let that type of thing happen. So looking at it from a basketball standpoint, you mentioned a couple of options of what they could do. Obviously, Kaluma, I think that's the first area you look, but they're probably going to rely more heavily on Kaluma than you may have thought. You might have to play, be a little bit more versatile in what he does. You may see K-State go to a three-guard look. Again, we don't know. We haven't seen him play yet. But you could see them maybe go to a three-guard look, you know, a little bit more. And if they do that, you don't be surprised if Quest Glover is out there. Fifth year senior. he's a sharpshooter. And he's a guy that you could potentially see him out there with Perry and Carter to give them a little bit of a scoring spark. Maybe, you know, kind of similar when they were a three guard with Denny Stills at times last year.
Yep.
I think you could be that's a look that I think is something that we'll see a lot. And, you know, we'll see. You know, we'll see if they lean into a guy like Day-Day Ames or if they lean into a freshman like RJ Jones. I would guess not against USC that they would probably go with someone like Wes Glover, who's a fifth-year guy in a game like that. I don't think they probably want to get their freshman playing big minutes in that type of environment. But we'll see. You mentioned, Colbert, he'll obviously, be someone that they'll rely on, and then obviously Gasson. As well, but it will be interesting to kind of see how Drum Tank works in the lineup.
We'll see what happens. Excuse me. We'll see what happens, as we'll definitely keep an eye on Naquan Thomas. Which you just tuned into this podcast, Eddie Grid, Alex Aiden for the Pro Project Podcast, recording on this Monday night in October 30th, ahead of Halloween 2023. Naquan Tomlin by Drum Tank is definitely suspended after his actions in Aggieville late on Saturday into Sunday morning. So a huge hit for the K-State basketball team for the time being. So we'll see what happens there. We'll keep our eyes real peeled on that. Meanwhile, staying on basketball, we talked about it a little bit before we hit on air. Patrick Nagamba, if I can say it right, close enough. He was at the football game over the weekend there as K-State shut out Houston 41-0, and David Castillo, of course, who committed to K-State early this summer, was with them. There were a lot of tweets about that. I was not at the game last weekend, but I saw a lot of tweets about that. So as Nagamba is recruited by K-State, Duke, and Kentucky, last three on Patrick's list, and I forgot when he's going, or he did he make a decision yet on when he's going to make his decision?
On Saturday. He's announcing on Saturday.
Okay. Saturday he's going to make his decision. So we'll see if all that being involved with the students pays off. But Allison, what are your thoughts on David Castillo trying to lure one of the more polarizing players in the class for basketball?
I absolutely love it because Dave Castillo is a top 50 recruit. Dave Castillo was a 5-star, and then he got hurt and he got bumped down a little bit. So I think he's like 40s now, but he's still a top 50 recruit, fringe, high 4-star, fringe 5-star player. And then you've got, obviously, Patrick Ngamba, who is a top 20 player, and he's 20 to 25 in some rankings, and he's top 20 in others. So he's a 5-star in some, he's a 4-star in some others. But either way, he's a French 5-star guy. So you got the possibility to get two French 5-stars coming in next year in that freshman class, which would just be absolutely massive. And then Ngamba, it's just huge. I mean, 6'10", 250, can shoot the ball. I mean, he would be an amazing addition at the center position. He'd be the highest recruit I think they've had. Wally Judge. Anybody remembers Wally Judge?
Yep.
Wally Judge. Michael Beasley and Bill Walker. And prior to that, David Castillo was the highest recruited.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Player. That's yeah. Right. So I loved that David Castillo was there, Eddie. I loved that K-State really. It was really a full court press. He was there for 3 days. I believe it was 3 days, and the coaching staff. I know they were really going all out on the the Patrick Ngamba visit. And what was great to see, Eddie, was the interaction by the K-State, students, by the K-State fan base, to really rally around him. And I'm not going to go down the road of what some KU fans are saying. Some KU fans don't get way too far. Won't even give them the time of the day. I will, though, give K-State fans that were very welcoming the time of day because it was great to see the love that they gave him around that. And so, again, we'll see. Ryan Gilbert did make a prediction. It was the first crystal ball prediction on 24/7. He did give it to K-State, and he put it at a medium confidence. So, like a 5 out of 1 through 10, I think it was given a 5. So, I think it's leaning K-State, but I think Duke's still in the mix. I definitely don't think this is like done deal by any stretch of the imagination, but I would be a little surprised if he didn't pick K-State on Saturday, but I'm also ready to have my heart broken. So, you know how it goes.
Yep.
But either way, it seems like it was a great visit. He had a great time. He was all about optioning in the student section, him and David Castillo. You know, that's all great stuff. And, again, you know, hopefully this time next week, Eddie, we're coming on the podcast, talking about, Patrick Ngongo, as a Wildcat.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
Yes, I do know how it goes, especially, we've seen our share of cheers, and we've seen our hearts broken during the recruiting process, whether that's football or basketball for sure. But yeah, I'm all for it for sure there. Okay, everyone's all in, trying to do their part in getting one of the more polarizing basketball players in this class in the Gamba. So definitely, I mean, we did our best, and we did the right way. So we'll have to see what happens there. Obviously, mentioned Kentucky in there, and yes, Duke, they're not out of it either. So we'll see how it goes. And yeah, next week at this time, we'll see what happens with all that. But yeah, K-State Nation, everyone involved in that, they did their part. And now it's kind of out of our hands at this point. So, but yeah, I thought it was a good thing to see everyone rally around Patrick in that at that football game for sure. So a 3-day visit by Patrick Ngamba concludes, and we'll have to see if we can beat out the two blue buds in basketball, Duke and Kentucky. Of course, we beat Kentucky last year in the NCAA tournament.
That's right. So, remind him again too.
Yeah. So there you go on that. There you go on that one. The Pro Project Podcast here. Final segment here. We got 7 minutes here left. Eddie Greer here in Manhattan, Kansas. Alex Aiden out there in San Diego, California. Pro Project Podcast. All things K-State. We'll end it with this. Alex, already shared my thoughts yesterday of the game. Even though I wasn't there, I did keep up with it. And one of my other friends kept me in the loop about this game, Alex, football game. We'll talk more about Texas tomorrow. We have to shift keep that because of the breaking-ish news there. K-State takes care of business against Houston, shutting them out 41-0. K-State, more importantly, stays unbeaten at home. I better say, more importantly, for two times. A, you stay unbeaten at home at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. And two, you set yourself up for an opportunity to really get back in the thick of Arlington if you can take down Texas on Saturday, which, oh, by the way, big new kickoff. It's going to be in Austin this weekend. So, huge game. You know it's going to be a huge game as well. But more on that tomorrow. But Alex, your reactions here quickly of the Houston game. Houston dub.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned it. We'll talk about Texas. So, when we record tomorrow, I do think that game very well may determine who does go to Arlington between K-State and Texas. But looking at Houston, you had to win that Houston game to set up the big game against Texas. K-State was absolutely dominant. In a game where they could have potentially had a letdown. I think you saw Texas have a little bit of a letdown after their Texas. I think you saw Houston have a little bit of a letdown after their close game with Texas. You feared K-State coming off the big emotional win against TCU in Texas next week. Maybe they have a little bit of a letdown. Clearly it did not happen. K-State came out. They played very well, very sharp. They have out the last eight quarters or the last something like that. I forget the exact stat, but K-State outscored their opponents 103-3. When you look at the end of the Tech game, the TCU game, and then the full TCU game, the full Houston game, so K-State's been completely dominant. Granted, not against the highest, the top teams in the Big 12, but still dominant nonetheless. And Will Howard, obviously, that I think that's the biggest story, Eddie, from the game. 15-17, 164 yards, two touchdowns, quarterback rating of 95. Key was really, really good. And, you know, Avery did not have his best game. I thought K-State did the – I thought Avery was fine on his last drive. But, you know, Will was cooking. They brought Avery in for that third series. He fumbled the ball. They put Will back in there. I thought that was the right move. Will was cooking. He continued to cook. And, you know, he's playing the way he was. You know, you don't want to disrupt that. You know, you kind of have to have a feel for that, for kind of that quarterback situation. So, again, we'll talk more about what they'll do against Texas with the quarterback situation tomorrow, but Will was really good. I'm really happy for Will to see him play the way that he did. Because I do think, this is, I mean, I truly believe this, for K-State to hit their highest ceiling, Eddie, and to have the best chance at winning a Big 12 championship, what gives them the best chance to win a Big 12 championship or to end up at Arlington is Will playing like last year's Will. It's not relying on Avery. Avery's got a higher ceiling in general than Will, but he's going to make freshman mistakes. You've seen some of the last two games. Will is experienced. He's the veteran, and he played at Big 12 championship caliber level last year. And if you can get that this year from him, that gives you the best chance to get back to Arlington and to repeat. I've said that from the get-go. I stand by that. So I think the best-case scenario for K-State was for Will Howard to come out and do what he did. I think that you have to, you know, again, we'll get into tomorrow, but I think you have to start him going into that Texas game. At least doesn't mean Avery shouldn't play. Running-wise, DJ Giddens, he was a beast, too. 13 carries, 96 yards. He had two touchdowns. Sean Ward also punched in another touchdown. K-State continues to run the ball completely dominant. And defensively, Eddie, I mean, throwing a shutout against a good Houston offense. We talked about this last week. That's a good Houston offense. And they completely stifled Donovan Smith, who threw for under 100 yards. he had an interception in the game. And K-State was all over the field. They were all over the field. Marky Siegel had a tackle for loss. Jake Clifton had a tackle for loss. Nate Matlack had a sack. Will Lee had a couple nice plays in coverage, as did V.J. Payne. So they were really, really active on the defensive front. Didn't give Houston any ability to do anything. So Joe Klanderman, I saw that On3 gave him the Defensive Coordinator of the Week award today. He obviously deserves those accolades. His defense was great last week. His defense has been great the last 2 weeks against two good offenses. TCU and Houston, they have good offenses. So they're peaking at the right time, Eddie. I'll end it by saying that they are peaking at the right time. And again, it's not against the highest level of competition in the Big 12. I fully, fully acknowledge that.
Yeah.
They're playing some damn good football right now. And you got to be encouraged by it.
Ever since the loss in Stillwater, K-State, they have picked it up quite a bit here, and yep, they are starting to peak at the right time, and that's the perfect way to kind of end that on a little bit of cliffhanger, as we'll get into the Texas talk preview tomorrow here, as yep, and with KU beating Oklahoma, yep, that was the overshadowing effect there. Oklahoma not having a loss, Texas not, still has that one loss, Oklahoma State still has one loss, and K-State has one loss as well, so a jam lock right there, and you can throw in Iowa State in here as
and
well.
Iowa State plays KU Saturday, and K-State plays Texas, so we have four of the one-loss teams playing each other.
Yep, that's right. It's setting up for a gigantic Saturday of college football in the Big 12 for sure, so a lot to talk about still ahead of that, so we'll see what happens there. The Pearl Project Podcast, all things K-State, and get wherever you get your podcast, free and available. Part of the K-State family and podcast. There's plenty of other coverage as well on all the K-State podcasts. Obviously, we mentioned Three Mall quite a bit, Power Cat Podcast, and there's another podcast out there. I can't think of it right now. But anyways, K-State shutting out Houston over the weekend, 41-0 there, and setting up the huge showdown in Austin with Texas there as well. Big thanks to Alex Inn, as always, for his insight. He'll be back on tomorrow. We'll be back talking Texas and maybe another sport in here as well. But right now, it's time to wrap this up. Eddie Greer here in Manhattan, Kansas, out there in San Diego, California. The Pearl Project Podcast rolls into tomorrow. We'll talk to you then.
For listening to the Purple Project Podcast. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts. We'll talk to you all on the next episode of the Triple P Podcast. Go Cats!